Okay, so Sharon's just going to come and help me with this, because there is, hopefully that pen works. I was going to do it, but because I'm having to use this microphone, I couldn't. And you might want to just put your foot on there. Okay, so there's a tried and tested way of explaining God's story that you might want to try. Just a very, very simple diagram. And it's called the bridge. And it's just a way that you could do, if you're talking to someone and you've got to the point where they're asking you, or you want to find out where they are on this this journey that you're walking with them. And those of you that were here on Monday night, you will recognize this. Okay, so first of all, we have to establish the reality of two beings. So if you could just draw that. Okay. So the first one is people. We are people. There's us, mankind. And the other thing that we have to establish is that there is God. Some people might stumble at that bit, but assuming that you've been talking to people and they're willing to consider who God is and learning a little bit about God. As you look at that diagram, you can say to people that the difficulty that we have is that we've got us on one side, we've got God on the other, and there's this big gap in the middle that no matter what we do, we can't bridge that gap. And that gap, the Bible calls sin. That's the thing that separates us. That's the thing that keeps us apart. And nothing that we do will be able to bridge that gap. We want to get to know God. People want to get to know God. But we can't, because we can't leap over that chasm. And we try all sorts of things. But thankfully, God realized our dilemma. And in his compassion, he couldn't leave us separated like that. And because he loves us so much, he intervenes so that we would have a way of getting close to him. And his solution was to choose Jesus as a bridge. So now, that gap that we couldn't close, that we couldn't get across, there is now a way for us to make our way to get to know God. But the way that we do that is through Jesus. And it was Jesus dying on the cross that has made that way for us. Simple diagram. Doesn't matter if you can't draw. I think we can all do that, can't we? Thanks, Sharon. John 5 verse 24 says, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. From here to here. And how do we cross over? Through Jesus. Through what he has done. That's all you need to explain. On our session on Monday, Bill used this with a friend of his called Dave. And he used this to find out where Dave was on his walk with God. He'd spent years just being his friend and talking, and Dave hadn't really shown much interest. And so he said to him, he said, Dave, in this picture, where do you see yourself? Do you see yourself sort of here, almost ready to make that choice, or are you a little bit back? And his friend said to him, actually, they were sitting in a cafe, he said, I'm in the next booth. I'm nowhere near that. But that illustration he was able to use to establish where his friend was on his journey, and also as a simple way of explaining. So that's something that all of us can use if ever we're asked, well, you know, how does it work? How do you know God? What did you do? Simple illustration there. The thing to remember as well is that you are not responsible for transforming somebody's heart. It's not your job. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Your role, our role, is when prompted to open our mouths and give a thoughtful and clear explanation of what God has done for us. That's our job. When prompted, when we know that's the Holy Spirit, and that moment, it's the Holy Spirit that will soften someone's heart, that will open their eyes and ears. We don't know when that is. All that we need to do is be willing to be a step along that person's journey. Hopefully you get the joy of seeing someone come to know God. But just knowing that you've had a part in their story, you know, is that if that's what God's asking us for, then that's what we need to do. So the next thing is that, so that's God's story. You have a story and you need to learn to tell it well. So it doesn't matter what age you came to know Jesus, you will still have a story. Now, for those of you like me who became a Christian when I was a young child, I know that there are points in my life where I went away from God and came back, recommitted myself. It may be that if your story started when you were a child, that will be somewhere along the story where you can pick up and use that to speak to someone. But let's just consider, just for a moment, a story that we read in Luke chapter 5, and it's the story about the leper who was healed. He came to Jesus. Jesus saw that he was a leper. What do we know about people that were lepers? They were outcasts. They were despised. They were shunned. Not in a good place, but Jesus came and he healed him. I wonder if he had to tell his story really simply, what he would say. I think it would be something like, I was a leper, but then I met Jesus, and now I'm healed, totally and completely healed. His story has those three parts. He has a before, he has his encounter with Jesus, and he has the after. So he could have said, I was sick, but now I'm well. I was diseased, but now I'm healthy. I was an outcast, but now I'm accepted. I was left for dead, but now I have a future. And I just want you to think for a moment, that is that same pattern true for you? Can you say, I was like this before I met Jesus, and now I'm like this. I was lonely, and now I'm belong. I was hurting, and now I'm healed. I was angry, but now I found peace. I wonder what your story would be. What were you like before you met with Jesus? And that's what people are interested in. They want to know, okay, if I'm going to give my life to Jesus, most people want to know what's in it. What's in it for me? What's it going to do for me? How is it going to affect me? Our stories are those pictures for people to see, aren't they? So, I want you to remember this, because this week, we have a before and an after. Oh, sorry, these are just the... These are some of the things that you might have in your story. Striving, grateful, self-destructive, healthy, guilty, liberated, fear-stricken, confident, despairing and hopeful. So, homework time. I'm not going to get you to do it right this minute, and I hope that some of you will take the challenge. What we'd like you to do is think about that chart and then think about your own story. And just write down less than 100 words, so it doesn't have to be long and involved. But I want you to do it, think about it this week, and then I'd like you to email me your stories. I'd just be really interested to hear them. So your own before and after story doesn't have to be any more complicated than what you've just seen, but it has to be simple, it has to be short, and it has to be true. Now, as I said, these stories can derail. The first one, the way that we can derail our stories is when we don't shut up. And the temptation is to go on and on and on. And, you know, we have to be good at reading people's body language, because people show us when they've had enough and they don't want to hear anymore. So when their eyes glaze over, that means they don't want to listen anymore. Or when they start looking for that escape or looking for someone else to be able to go over and talk to, read the signs. Don't keep on. Recognize when you've said enough. Or even, you know, when they're just going, and just, okay, and backing off from you. Read the signs. You don't have to keep going. If they've shown they're not interested, that's fine. Just shut up. The second way that we can put people off with our stories, if we get a bit, like I said before, a bit fuzzy, when we start to tell the story and it gets so complicated, people don't need to know every step. They just need to know the key things of what you were before, how you found Jesus, what difference it's made. And the other thing, which you all need to be really careful about, actually I think we're fairly good in this church. I think we've knocked this on the head quite a while ago, but when we use Christian jargon. So just bear in mind, just think, if this person has never been in a church, will they understand words like propitiation? Or even redemption, or, you know the words that we can chuck in just because it's part of, we understand it, but somebody else might not. Keep it simple. Just use everyday language. It's fine. It's not a problem. If you use those words and they don't understand them, what is the point? You might as well not say them at all. So say your story in a way that people can understand. And the fourth thing is, don't be superior. Don't say, oh, well, I used to be like you. Oh, yes, I remember when I was like you and I used to do all that sinning like you. You know, we have to be very careful that we don't come across as being superior, because now, of course, we've got all the answers. You know, yes, we have all the answers in Jesus and you don't know what you're talking about. Actually, we need to recognize that in our world, not everything is black and white. Not everything is good and bad. That there are things that God has created and things that people who aren't Christians do that are good. And we need to recognize that and don't be superior. To just tell your story simply. Don't tell people how terrible they are. Yes, people need to know that they are in need of Jesus, that it's sin that separates us. But actually, most people know where they're going wrong. Most people know when their lives are in a bit of a mess, that they need something, that things aren't good. We need to introduce them to Jesus. So, there's my email address. I think it shouldn't be a capital L. It's just all lowercase. denise.langham@hotmail.co.uk. And I'll like them by next Sunday, please. So keep it brief, keep it humble, easy to understand and real. So if you don't use email, I won't be marking them. I won't be marking them, but I think if you know that there's a challenge there, I think it will just help to focus us a bit more. So you can write it down. If you don't want to email it to me, you can write it down, give it to me on a piece of paper. Or if you don't like writing things down, you can grab me next Sunday and say, I haven't written it down, but this is my story, 100 words. Okay? Yeah. Yeah, I'll be doing prize giving. No, you have to remember that your story is unique to you. Only you can tell your story. And those of you that are thinking, well, my story isn't very interesting. Your story is interesting because you know Jesus. Because you have found him. And people want to know, how did you find him? Why did you find him? What made you turn to Jesus? And I know you're probably thinking, oh, what's the point? Why do we have to do this? The thing is, if if we've got it clear in our mind, when that moment comes when somebody says, so how did you become a Christian? We're not going, oh. We've thought about it. We've worked it through in our head. So we're ready. We go, yes, this is how I found Jesus. We're prepared. It's about being prepared. That's what takes the fear out of sharing our faith with people. So I know this has been very practical, but really we just have to remember that this is what Jesus has called us to. That this is what he's asked each and every one of us to do. No exception. No exception at all. We have all been called to do this. So if he's called us all to do this, let's do it well. Let's prepare for it. There's nothing wrong with that. The disciples were with Jesus preparing for that time when he would be gone and they would have to carry on this work. Preparation was all part of what he did with them. So we prepare. We find the stories in the Bible that we can use and we can relate to. So let's be sort of committed to this. Let's be intentional about what we're doing. And let's not let that word evangelism strike fear in our hearts any longer. Because what it means is us telling our stories to people that haven't yet found Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we just ask that you would help us as we work through these things. Lord, we love you. And thank you, Lord, that you have come and you have stepped into our lives and you have changed us. That you have taken people that were hurting and you've brought healing. That you have taken people that were lost and you've found us. Lord, thank you that each of our stories is just a testament to your grace and your mercy and your love. And Lord, we just pray that you would help us as we share our stories with other people, that as we introduce them to you and what you have done, Lord, that we would see our family, our friends, our neighbours, our work colleagues, all the people that we know, that they discover you. Lord, that is our heart's desire, that people find you and know you. Lord, would you help us? And Lord, would you give us a desire and a passion for your name and to see your name glorified, to see people's eyes opened as they look to you. Lord, we ask it in your name. Amen.